Hey, all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Definitely go to reallifepharmacology.com. Take advantage of our free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs and clinical pearls. So with that, let's get into today's podcast, and I'm going to cover terbinafine. Brand name of this medication is Lamisil. And I'm going to mostly focus on the oral agent. I've seen that quite a bit in clinical practice. With topical agents, obviously, you tend not to run into much as far as adverse effects and systemic effects, because systemic circulation is so much lower for many topical agents when it comes to antifungals there. So I'm going to focus, again, mostly on the oral systemic administration here. So, terbinafine, antifungal agent, dosing, 250 milligrams or 500 milligram dosing. This is really going to depend upon the indication that you are using it for. Most common indications that I have seen this medication used for are onchomycosis. So that is a fingernail, toenail type fungal infection. Very, very difficult, or can be difficult to treat. Another indication I have seen it used for is athlete's foot as well. Now, typically, if you're going the systemic route, that athlete's foot case is probably pretty serious and severe. Okay, so one really important concept or educational point I want you to remember is that fungal infections do take a long time to treat when, comparing them to, let's say, common head cold. Well, we don't really treat a common head cold, but I think you get the point. Bacterial infections, like a strep throat, for example, typically that treatment course is going to be relatively short, a week or so, give or take. And with that, fungal infections can be multiple weeks of treatment. So as patients start to get better, it may be tempting for them to stop taking the medication maybe too soon. So fungal infections, and particularly use with terbinafine, for some infections, we could be up in the 6 to 12 weeks of treatment range. Again, depending upon that infection, depending upon how it's responding, and that sort of thing. So definitely keep that in mind with antifungal agents, in that they typically take a little bit longer to treat those infections. From a mechanism of action standpoint, terbinafine blocks squalene epoxidase. Okay, so what the heck is that? That's an enzyme within the fungi that helps them build their cell membrane, or their structure that basically surrounds them. Okay, so if we block the action of that enzyme, they obviously can't create a cell membrane, a cell wall, whatever, and that's going to block their growth and reproduction and that sort of thing. So that can obviously help us treat that infection. Adverse effect profile. In most situations where I've seen this used, I haven't seen too much as far as adverse effects. Probably the most common, probably GI upset, maybe headache, that type of thing. There are a few rare ones, or a couple rare ones you should be aware of anyway. First, skin reactions can happen. So that's, skin reactions can happen with virtually any medication. So it's important to watch. And any new type of reaction that's unusual and not infectious or not caused by anything else, you definitely have to consider that terbinafine could be a potential contributing factor there. But again, very rare. Hepatic impairment. That's probably the most notable adverse effect that I remember. So we need to use this medication judiciously if we think somebody could have some issues with liver toxicity. So anyone obviously with pre-existing liver disease, we're going to be a little bit more nervous, hesitant about giving that, and maybe look towards other options if there are other options available. If you know a patient is an alcoholic, for example, and continuing to use, that's a situation where adding on terbinafine may exacerbate that liver risk. So very important to remember that and think about hepatotoxic risks for that specific patient that you're considering giving terbinafine to. Let's talk about one other one, and it's more so specifically with chronic use. There has been neutropenia, so low white blood cell count or low neutrophils. There has been this reported in case studies and things like that. So with that, the most likely situation is chronic use. Okay, so in monitoring parameters, we're probably going to monitor hepatic function, particularly in longer-term use. And then we could monitor white blood cell counts, CBC, that type of thing, in the event that we're concerned or at risk for neutropenia. So those are kind of the two monitoring parameters that you may see with this medication. So CBC and liver function tests. One other kind of unique adverse effect that I did want to mention was an alteration in taste and or smell. So again, kind of a really unique adverse effect that could potentially happen with terbinafine. Again, it's likely going to be transient, or I should say as you're taking that medication. If you stop it, hopefully those alterations are not going to be permanent. I mean, likely it's just going to be while you're taking the drug in most situations here. All right, so I think that kind of wraps up this section. Let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and then we will get into some important drug interactions to think about. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like BCPS, BCGP, ambulatory care, MTM certification, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. We've also got books for other healthcare professionals, clinicians. Definitely go check those resources out. Free Audible book promotion is still going on. If you've never had a book from Audible, definitely go check that out. You can get your first book absolutely free. I would probably at this point recommend my Drug Interaction Audible book. It's a 10-hour book on drug interactions and the most important clinical pearls and things you actually see in practice in association with those drug interactions. So definitely go check that out. One last resource I've recently added and updated a little bit, edited. We are adding a certification program for long-term care consulting, which I have had an employer reach out to me and actually recommend that all pharmacists that don't have experience or minimal experience go through that long-term care consulting course. So you can find links to that as well at meded101.com/store. So definitely go check that out. So let's finish up on drug interactions. So, the most important drug interaction that I want to mention is terbinafine's activity on CYP2D6. Okay, so CYP2D6 is a significant enzyme. So, substrates of CYP2D6, metoprolol, amitriptyline, nortriptyline, clozapine, fluoxetine, these are all drugs that are broken down by CYP2D6. And by inhibiting CYP2D6, like terbinafine can do, that can increase those concentrations and increase the risk of toxicity. Obviously, if we are stable on a dose of, let's say, metoprolol 50 milligrams twice a day, we add terbinafine, we run the risk of causing lower blood pressure, higher concentrations, and lower pulses, as well as other adverse effects or potential adverse effects with metoprolol. So keep in mind, increasing concentrations, more and more likelihood you're going to run into adverse effects of those specific drugs that I mentioned. Again, very long list of drugs that are affected by CYP2D6. I just picked out some important ones that I do think you see somewhat frequently in clinical practice. One other consequence from CYP2D6 inhibition is drugs that are activated by CYP2D6. And there's two classic examples. So codeine is converted to morphine by CYP2D6. And I believe I've got a specific podcast on codeine that you can go back and listen to where I talk about that a little bit more in depth. But codeine is activated or maybe converted into a more active compound, a prodrug, and it's converted to morphine by CYP2D6. So when we inhibit CYP2D6 with terbinafine, we're blocking that action. So we could end up with reduced effectiveness of codeine. One other drug, probably more critical, at least in my mind, tamoxifen, used in management of breast cancer. This drug is also a prodrug that has active metabolites, and CYP2D6 is at least partly responsible for creating those active metabolites. And when you inhibit CYP2D6, you're not going to form those active metabolites. Tamoxifen isn't going to have the desired effects that we're wanting it to do, and you can potentially increase the risk of developing breast cancer in a patient who's taking that combination. Now, keep in mind, in most situations, terbinafine isn't going to be a long-term agent, but definitely something to chat with the patient's oncologist about in trying to figure out whether we should use this medication, not use this medication, and look towards other alternatives potentially to avoid that interaction. And the last interaction I certainly want to mention is think about drugs that can contribute to liver toxicity, okay? So I mentioned, you know, the risk of alcohol, patients with alcohol use disorder, for example, there, they are probably at much greater risk for hepatic issues when taking terbinafine with that past medical history. So think about that. You know, a lot of the anti-seizure medications have some hepatic issues. Isoniazids, another medication that comes to mind. Amiodarone can have some liver toxicity issues. So think about some of those cumulative potential adverse effects in contributing to drug interactions. So with that, that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. Thanks so much for listening. Definitely go support our sponsor, meded101.com/store. Helps keep this podcast free. If you enjoyed the episode, found it helpful, relevant to your practice, definitely go leave us a rating, review on iTunes. And certainly if you're looking to track me down, you can find me at LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCPS, BCGP. Thanks so much for listening. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.